So there was a little boy who was saying his nighttime prayers, and his grandmother was on one side of his bed, and his mother was on the other, and he began to pray. Closed his eyes, "Dear God, please bless my mommy, my daddy, my family, my dog Skippy, and everybody in the world." And then he opened his eyes wide, and he screamed, "Ann, bring me a bicycle for my birthday!" His mother said, "Honey, you don't have to scream. God is not hard of hearing." "I know," he said, "but Grandma is." And so the practice of prayer is absolutely as old as civilization itself. The words "let us pray" and "amen" have rung through the ages in all civilizations and all languages. And prayer is especially important to us in Unity because our whole movement began with one woman, Myrtle Fillmore's prayers for healing, and spread into what is now called Silent Unity, the 24/7 prayer service that has been going on for 130 years and absolutely takes calls 24/7 from people all over the world, including people of many, many faiths. So that's our legacy. Our legacy is based on prayer. So according to the latest Pew Research, some people, we don't have to have a World Day of Prayer in a way, because some people pray every single day. The latest research says, concerning the frequency of prayer, that 55% of Americans say they pray every day. That's a pretty high percentage. Despite all this praying that's going around in the United States and in the world, Eric Butterworth says, "Prayer is the most misunderstood subject in the field of religious practice." So how could it be that all these different religious faiths are engaging in prayer, and yet Eric Butterworth says it is highly misunderstood? Well, as most of you know, following the example set by Myrtle Fillmore, Unity does have a slightly different perspective on prayer from that of traditional faiths. And in fact, our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, defines prayer as the most highly accelerated mind action known. He says it steps up mental action until our consciousness synchronizes with the Christ mind. And Linda Martella Whitsitt, who you just heard in the video, defines what we call affirmative prayer, the type of prayer we practice in Unity. She defines that as aligning with the one power and presence, realizing that divine nature is our identity, and declaring the highest truth available to us, the highest truth that we can imagine. Now, Jesus guided us in this whole practice of affirmative prayer when he said, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours." And those of you who have been with us for a while probably know and remember the word "ask" in both the early Hebrew and the Greek was actually the word "claim." So Jesus is telling us here, claim what is already yours, believe, and you will receive. When you pray affirmatively, you open your hearts and minds and claim the divine goodness and unlimited potential everywhere present and at the core of your being. And you know, when we walk in this building, the first thing you see to the right by the big doors is the Bible verse, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:32. The thing is, it's not just the truth alone that sets us free. It's our knowledge and our understanding of the truth. It's our consciousness about it that sets us free. So in the light of truth, we realize that as spiritual beings having a human experience, we dwell in two realms. We looked at this just a couple weeks ago. Not simultaneously, not in succession as the early Hebrews believed, but actually at the same time, simultaneously. We live in that absolute realm, the unchanging spiritual realm of divine principle, the sum total of all divine ideas and their purity and power, the eternal realm of unlimited potential. And at the same time, we dwell in the relative realm, our realm of constantly changing physical things in this world, temporary outer appearances, and we sometimes call this the realm of the senses. The thing is, in this physical realm, we all know, we can have fluctuating experiences, right? We can have sickness and we can have health. We can have peace and we can have discord. We can have harmony and sometimes we can have chaos. However, here's the good news, the spiritual law. Any condition in the relative realm has the potential to be healed and transformed as we connect with the divine, and we are never, ever separated from our source. Jesus taught, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." And we know righteous simply meant right thinking. So following Jesus, we pray affirmatively as we look past worldly appearances of lack, illness, and limitation to a greater reality. And you remember that Jesus so often absolutely gave thanks for what he was praying about before there was any evidence of it in the outer realm. It's been said that giving thanks for a gift you've already received is good manners, but giving thanks in advance is really a testimony of faith. Also, throughout his ministry, Jesus challenged the prevailing attitudes of the day about the nature of God, dispelling the belief that God was separate and far away, that God was arbitrary and vengeful. So affirmative prayer is based on a consciousness that God is an absolute field of love, intelligence, wisdom, and creative energy that indwells us. As we pray, we affirm our oneness with that perfect divine energy. Now, Eric Butterworth reminds us that we need to expand our awareness of omnipresence to know that the whole of spirit, the entirety of spirit, can express at every point in the universe fully at the same time. I mean, that's hard for us to get our human heads around. But spirit is not just a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, like, you know, raisins in a bagel. Spirit is everywhere, expressing fully at every point of the universe, which means spirit is expressing fully where? Through us, absolutely within us. So we pray not only from a consciousness of the truth about the divine, but also we pray from a consciousness of truth about ourselves. I will never forget my third grade teacher. She haunts me to this day. Her name was Mrs. Hammerstein, and we called her Mrs. Hammerhead Shark, and that was appropriate. Anytime that one of us displeased her, and that was pretty much every second of the day, she would stop, put her hand on her hip in that triangle of power, glare down at her victim and say, "Just who do you think you are?" Well, you know what? A child of God was not the answer she was looking for, right? However, it is really a compelling question. It is, who do you think you are? It is one of the most important questions we have to ask ourselves. It has been said that the greatest prison is the prison of others' opinions and attitudes about who we are. If we think that we are miserable, scum-sucking sinners, we tend to beg and bargain with God. At any moment, who we think we are determines the way in which we pray. And the truth is that we are individualized expressions of the divine, born not in original sin, but in original goodness. Many of you have heard this story before, but it's the best testimony that I know about being born in original goodness. And it's from Linda Martella Hitwitz's book, How to Pray Without Talking to God. And she says, after 18 hours of labor, My husband, Giles, took our newborn daughter, wrapped her in soft blankets, and placed her in my arms. She turned her dazzling little face up to mine, and in that moment I was captivated, and I spoke the words that I knew were on everyone's mind in the room, the doctors, the nurses, her daddy. I held her in my arms, and I said to her, "Welcome to the world, you miserable little sinner." Doesn't quite ring true, does it? Doesn't quite compute. She said, all I knew when I looked at her was that she was a marvelous bundle of possibility. I saw the purest expression of love in human form. No religion except traditional Christianity condemns a person before they behave badly. And so just knowing who we are, individualized expressions of God, is really important as we pray. In fact, in the original Sanskrit, the word prayer was palal, and it meant judging oneself to be wondrously made. So in affirmative prayer, we pray knowing that we are wondrously made in the very image and likeness of God, that the kingdom of heaven is within us. And Paul Hesselbeck, in his book Point of Power, says, the point of prayer is not so much about the goodies we get, but about the goodness we realize we are. So our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said, prayer is an affirmation of truth that eternally exists. It comes into our consciousness not by supplication, not by begging, but by affirmation. Do not beg God to give you what you need, but get still and think about the inexhaustible resources of infinite mind, its presence in all its fullness, and its constant readiness to manifest itself for you. The good always exists in divine mind as ideas, and we bring it into manifestation through the power of faith, affirmation, praise, and acknowledgement. That is from the Daily Word. From the Revealing Word. So affirming what God is and who we are, we concentrate on what we want to manifest in our bodies, in our lives, and in the world, knowing it is already ours in the perfect realm of the divine. It's already there. We remember that God is a very real power and presence, like gravity or electricity or water. There's no need to beg or bargain with the divine. So imagine going to your kitchen sink on a hot day, remembering that God is a real power and presence. Just imagine, would you do this? Would you go to your kitchen sink? Would you put your glass under the source? And would you say, please, please, faucet, give me a drink of water? Would you say, I am so thirsty, I really need a drink? I know that I am not worthy. I know that I'm a miserable sinner. But if you just give me this one drink, I promise to be good. Right? We don't do that. What do? Instead, we put the water under the source. We know the source is there. We turn on the handle or the valve, knowing, expecting, believing that the water will flow. Absolutely, we need to have that same kind of faith when we pray. Our thoughts and words can never diminish the divine, but our own thoughts and words constrict our consciousness, making it more difficult for us to receive. So one more imagination here. Imagine standing in front of a water source much greater than your kitchen sink, like the Niagara Falls. Now, Niagara Falls, known for the highest water flow in the world, is hitting the rocks below. It's powerful, it's gushing, it's pounding. And you come before this mighty power, grab your container and hold it up. Are you ready? Here's your container. Can you see it in the back? It's a thimble. Anybody young enough not to know what this is? Ask somebody from a different generation, okay? I barely know what it is, but at any rate. So the point is, no matter how strong that source is, we're not going to get much water with our tiny little thimble. Our consciousness is our container, and affirmative prayer helps us expand our consciousness. That's what it does. To realize the truth about God and ourselves, and therefore to become receptive to our good. Okay? So imagine having a healing need. Do I say, "Dear God, please cure my arthritis. I can barely get around and I'm in terrible pain"? Thimble consciousness. Or do I hold on to the divine idea of wholeness and say, "Divine healing power flows through every cell and tissue of my body. I am whole and healed"? That is expanded consciousness to infinite possibilities. Let's say we're having a financial challenge in this outer world. Do we say, "Oh God, I am desperate. I have no way to pay the rent. Please, please help me"? What kind of consciousness? Thimble consciousness. Or do I say, "I am now one with divine abundance. I claim prosperity in every area of my life"? Expanded consciousness, infinite possibilities. If we're having a conflict with another human being in our lives, do we pray, "God, please bring Sally to her senses"? I think some of us have prayed that way. I think I have sometimes in my life. If so, that is thimble consciousness. Instead, we need to pray something like, "I behold the Christ in Sally. I know divine peace and harmony are at work in this situation." And that would be expanded consciousness about infinite possibilities. Once, when I was working many years ago in a lesson on affirmative prayer, Reverend Randy Schmeling, such a wise man, said to me, "Well, Jan, really, all prayers are affirmative. The point is, and the question is, what are we affirming? Are we affirming, 'I am sick, I am tired, I am worried'? Is that what we want to affirm? And the word amen, if we say, 'I am sick, amen,' the word amen means more than the end, or as this little girl thinks, it means more than 'you can open your eyes now,' right? The word amen actually, from in both the Hebrew and the Greek, means verily, it is established, it is the truth, and so it is. Eric Butterworth advises that we should never formulate a prayer that we are not willing to allow to be the truth. So affirmative prayer is rooted in the awareness of our oneness, our Christ nature. And when we align ourselves with that divine identity, we pray from divine consciousness. The thing is, no matter what it is that we think we want, and we think we want a lot of things, and that's fine, but no matter what it is that we think we want, the true benefit of prayer is to make that sacred connection with Spirit. As Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Everything you need will be forthcoming, but we turn first to the divine. So it's through affirmative prayer that we help to co-create the good we desire. And I just want to acknowledge for a minute, the doors are closed. We are taping, but nobody can see your faces, right? Let's be real. Sometimes this is hard. It's hard to face a diagnosis and claim wholeness. It's hard sometimes to look at all the discord in this world and claim peace. And it's hard to look at that bank balance and say to yourself, "I am prosperous." But here's the good news. You don't have to do it alone. We are a spiritual community. We are here to support one another in affirmative prayer, and the whole Greater Unity Movement is available to support us also. We have an amazing group of prayer chaplains who are highly trained in just what we've been talking about this morning, and looking past the appearance to the greater reality. So take advantage of them on Sunday mornings. Also, please do try to join us this week for World Day of Prayer right here in the sanctuary, anytime from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can pray directly with a prayer chaplain. You can sit in silent prayer and meditation. You can submit prayer requests. And on the top of every hour, we're going to do the Silent Unity Prayer Service, which is a beautiful prayer service of affirmations. So please try to join us if you can. And if you can't join us, try to join virtually. And during the week, after World Day of Prayer is over, we can always call Silent Unity. If you're willing to share with us, how many of you have called Silent Unity in your lifetimes? Lots of us. It's a beautiful, beautiful affirmative prayer that you always get. And also, there's the YouPray app that I know many of you know. And did you know that you can ask Alexa for positive prayer? How many knew that? You can, and when you ask, the word is positive prayer, positive affirmations. I tested out this morning. You can just say, Alexa, read some positive affirmations, and the positive affirmations that she will be reading come from Silent Unity. So, you know, we've got all sorts of different ways to spread this word. And if you want to really enrich and go deeper in your prayer life, learn about the five-step prayer process and all that, join Ann next Saturday morning for the Power of Prayer class. It's an amazing class. So Eric Butterworth writes that we walk alone in this life, unaware that we're all one. We live in a field of infinite knowingness, but we sometimes are deaf to the process. And in the end, maybe he was right about prayer being misunderstood. A lot of people pray for the goodies they want instead of for the goodness of God and the goodness that they are. A lot of people do that. I bet if you walk somebody, stop me in the street, one of those 55% and said, tell us about your prayers. A lot of us pray for things. But praying affirmatively means even more than that. It means realizing that we can never be separate from wholeness, power, and guidance from our divine source. So let's give Myrtle Fillmore, close to the final word here, who started this whole thing. Myrtle wrote, "We pray to change our minds and hearts so that God's omnipresent good may fill us and manifest in our lives." And so when we engage in this beautiful process of affirmative prayer, it helps us to accept and merge with all the qualities of divine mind. It helps us to reconnect with our divine essence, and it helps us to focus on Spirit's infinite goodness, love, and wisdom. And so it is. So let's take a moment now to affirm this great truth about our God that is being affirmed in New Thought churches throughout the world. And let's do this together. It's printed in your bulletin for those of you who are here for the first time. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.